Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wase Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. And now before we start today's teaching, we will recite the Kaddish for the Dead and the Mourners of the Dead as we do before each class. I ask you to please bow your heads, close your eyes, so that your gaze may not encounter the figure of the Shekinah. So please close your heads and bow. Please close your eyes and bow your heads. And bring into your mind's eye the memory of someone close to you who has died, passed over, passed on. And envision them in your mind's eye. And in so doing, you will honor their memory and bring them into your consciousness. Iskadal v'ishkadash meirabo, bomo di vero kirase v'amlek melkase, mekaya kon uvyo mekon uvkaye dekol besi Yisrael, ba'agalo uviz mam koriev ve'imru amen. Ye heish meirabo mevorak, leolam ule ome omayo. Yisbarak v'yistabak v'yisbarar v'yisramam v'yisnase v'yishadar v'yisale v'yishalal Shmedikacho biraku le'elo minkol birkaso v'shiroso Tushbikoso v'nekamoso da'amarom ve'omo ve'imru omen Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo ve'kayim aleinu ve'alko Yisrael ve'imru omen Ose shalom bimromov huyashe shalom Aleinu ve'alko Yisrael ve'imru amen. Thank you very much. I come to you today with open heart and I ask the Shekinah to please honor me with her presence in this teaching today. And I ask the Holy One, blessed be He, that what comes out of my mouth today be only that which He has revealed to me to teach, and may my words be those that have been placed upon my tongue and my lips by the voice from above. Amen, v'amen. Let me check our recording levels here to make sure that we are in fact recording and that the levels are audible but not overpowering. Move that up just a little bit. All right. Now, as you know, if you have listened to any of these recordings off the website or attended any of these recordings, you know we've been teaching for 2 months now on the Torah. And so far there's no end in sight. And when I say teaching on the Torah, I do not mean the idea that first is likely to come to mind, which is that I've opened up the Torah, the Bible, to a page systematically or randomly and read out of there and then said, okay, now we will teach on that subject. That's not what I mean. What I mean, yes, of course, that's teaching on Torah. That's teaching from the Torah. But what I'm doing right now is I'm teaching on the Torah. And what I'm doing is I'm sharing with you information that is being passed on to me and given to me by virtue of the Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh, by virtue of the will of the Holy One, blessed be He, who resides within my heart as He resides in yours. And the information that is being taught is information about the nature of Torah herself. What is the Torah? What is its origins? What is its purpose? What are its different forms? Why is the Torah? Things of this nature. So we've been doing this for 2 months, and we will continue doing this until the Holy One, blessed be He, says that it is time to move on to another subject. All right. Teaching with an edge, apparently. Okay. So let me find my place here. In our last meeting, we were talking about the fact that there are two Torahs, not the two Torahs that we've taught about before, the Torah to Atzilut and the Torah to Berea, although that this is to do with them. This is in every way to do with them, but it's beyond that. It's an expansion upon that. Okay? I've told you that the Torah started out as being purely spiritual. Purely spiritual. The Torah to Atzilut. But with the fall of Adam, which we talked about in our last class, as Adam fell, experienced katabasis, the great fall from grace, from having approached too near to the position of God, to the level of being God, he was cast out of Gan Eden. His spirituality that lent him immortality was removed. His level of spirituality, his being consciousness that was so very close to the level of the Holy One, blessed be He, was degraded. He fell from the skies like Icarus, who flew too near the sun in the Greek legend. He fell, Adam fell from Gan Eden, fell to earth, crashed and burned, took on a material body, which he did not have when he was in Gan Eden. He was totally spiritual in nature. And so as I speak about Adam, I speak also of Eve. For what we're talking about here is primordial man. We're talking about humankind. Humankind originally was designed to be a companion to God. For as it says in Genesis, in Bereshit, it says that God walked in the garden in the cool of the afternoon and communed with Adam and Eve and spoke with them, almost as being on the same level. Almost. I'm not saying they were on the same level. Nothing and no one can ever be on the level of the Holy One, blessed be He. But He created Adam, and later as a helpmeet, as a companion for Adam, a female who was in Adam and separated from Adam. And so Adam was androgynous, not truly male, not wholly female, but both simultaneously. And so God separated them and made them male and female, as it says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Male and female made He them in our form and likeness. That's the likeness of Elohim, the likeness of the Holy One, blessed be He, the creative God, the God of creation. And He made them male and female, but He made them spiritual beings. They did, and in the form and likeness of God means that they were spiritual. They did not have form. And in terms of the ten sephirot, this was at the level of the top three ten of the ten sephirot. The world of Atzilut, the universe of Atzilut, the world of emanation, not the world of creation, which was yet to come. Yet to be. Not the world of formation, and not the world, certainly, of making or action or doing, which is the lowest of the four worlds or universes. They did not exist. The bottom three worlds did not exist. At the time in Genesis that Genesis is talking about with Adam and Eve, prior to being having been cast out of Gan Eden, this is the world of emanation. The world of Atzilut, the world in which the beings there were all totally spiritual. They did not have physical bodies. And then they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two trees were there in the garden at that time. In the middle of the garden, in the center of the garden, And now imagine this. This is the center of a circle that has an infinite radius. Think about that geometrically. If the radius is infinite, then that means that the circumference is infinite. And it means that one cannot adequately draw a circumference because the radius is infinite. And it means that at any place in the circle is the center. And it says that in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. This is the source of all life, the tree of life. At its base, we are taught by the sages, flows the stream, which then divides into seven streams or channels to feed the world, and then reconvenes back into a single one to feed the world, into the sea. These flow into the sea. These are references to the ten sephirot. Okay, the source is Chokmah. And from there flows the river into the sea, which is the upper sea, which is Binah, the Matronita, with Chokmah being Abba the Father, the archetypal male. And what flows from him is the seed into the womb of the Matronita, the Divine Mother, who is the upper sea. And then from her flow seven streams. These are the seven sephirot below. The first three of which form the world of creation. The second three of which form the world of formation, and the seventh of which forms the kingdom, the world of Asiya, of making or doing. And the seventh of which is also called the sea, which is the lower female, the lower mother, Shekinah, the divine presence of God. Okay. So the Torah that was first given to us was the Torah that existed in the world of Atzilut. This is the Torah Kedumah, the primordial Torah that existed for 2,000 years prior to the creation of the world. This is the time period in which Adam and Eve existed in harmony in Gan Eden. They were under the influence of Torah Kedumah, the totally spiritual, primordial Torah that God made before he made the world. When they sinned, they fell from grace. They fell to the lower worlds. And this was the creation of the lower worlds at the same time these worlds were created. When Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, he was cast out into the world to toil in tilling the soil, to toil for his living. He took on death, and he brought into that world death. He brought it with him. Why? Because he had knowledge of the conflict of opposites that is in God. That is the essential nature of God. He brought this with him, this knowledge with him. Okay, and as we taught last time in our last meeting, this changed the nature of the Torah that was emanated into this lower world. Instead of a holy spiritual Torah being emanated, It was a Torah that took on, just as Adam and Eve took on, a material aspect. Their souls were clothed and bound to material physical bodies that were finite in time. So too was the Torah given a material outward appearance. There was still the spiritual Torah, but this Torah was now the hidden Torah. The revealed Torah was the physical Torah, the Torah de Berea, the Torah of the wilderness. It had a physical appearance to match the physicality of the world and of the people in the world. Baruch Hashem. And it had a finite lifespan, just as Adam and Eve had. It had a finite existence in time. The Torah of remaking, the Torah de Berea, the Torah of creation, the Torah of the wilderness would not last and was not intended to last forever, just as the bodies of every human being in this existence that's ever been in the world never was intended to last forever. It was given a span, just as our bodies were given a maximum lifespan of 120 years, so too was the Torah of remaking given a finite lifespan. It was limited in terms of its applicability to this world and the existence of humans in this world and its existence. It will be supplanted. It will pass away and be replaced. By what? By a Torah that reflects the changed conditions of the world and of the human beings in it when that time comes. In the sixth millennium, the Torah of the Messiah. The Messianic Torah. Okay, now having set the stage for this, I want to read some passages out of the Zohar. And let me just check our time here, see where we're at here. All right, we've still got some good time to get into this. I want to talk about some passages here that are in the Zohar that talk about the Tree of Life. Now, why am I going to talk now about the Tree of Life? Because I've been talking now about how when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they were totally physical and they were immortal. They were attached to the Tree of Life. But they fell, they lost their grip on the Tree of Life, and they fell from their spiritual status that was immortal into, what they did was they took into them the essence of the Tree of Death, which is another way of saying the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of life and death, the tree of knowledge of the opposites. In the Tree of Life, there are no opposites because it says it was located in the middle of Gan Eden. In the center, there are no opposites. Everything is joined together and flows from the center. And when before they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is at the side and lower, they were attached to the Tree of Life. Okay? And it is this fall that I'm going to talk about now. I'm not going to talk about it. The Zohar talks about it, and the Zohar is esoteric oral Torah. So who's talking about this? This is the Holy One, blessed be He, who is speaking in these passages of the Zohar. Blessed be His name, and blessed be His glorious kingdom. Blessed be His name, which is Torah. Torah is His name. All right. Psalm 5, verse 5 says, "You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil, and evil shall not sojourn with thee." You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil, and evil shall not sojourn with thee. Okay, that's directly quoting Psalm 5, verse 5. And now I'll read from this part of the Zohar, which is an interpretation of that. And it's Zohar Bereshit, section 1, page 52b. He who is drawn after evil may not abide with the tree of life. Now think about this. We've been talking about Adam and Eve. And we've been talking about how, the background story here is that the serpent, Samael, came into Gan Eden and went to the woman, and he convinced her to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and with her, her mate, her husband, Adam. Okay? Now here's, with that as the background, here's what it says. He who is drawn after evil may not abide with the tree of life. Before they sinned, the human pair, meaning Adam and Eve, used to hear a voice from above and were endowed with the higher wisdom. They stood erect with heavenly radiance and knew no fear. When they sinned, they were not able to stand up even before an earthly voice. I'm going to break into this here and comment on this. What is this voice? What is this voice we're talking about? It says, before they sinned, the human pair used to hear a voice from above and were endowed with the higher wisdom. Well, the voice from above it's talking about is what Bereshit tells us was the voice of God. God who walked in the garden in the cool of the afternoon and sought out the two human creatures that he created for companionship so that he could share his infinite goodness with them. He made them so that he could share his infinite goodness. And he created this place within himself called Atzilut, a universe, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, where they were spiritual beings, and this place with all the animals and all of the creatures, all of the plants, the fishes, the seas, the stars, all of this was all entirely spiritual. He created this place for them. And he would go there in the cool of the afternoon and he would walk there and commune with them. This is the voice where it says here in the Zohar, before they sinned, the human pair used to hear a voice from above and were endowed with the higher wisdom. The voice from above is the voice of the Holy One, blessed be He. And were endowed with the higher wisdom. What wisdom is that? That's the supernal. Higher means supernal. The supernal wisdom. That means directly from Chokmah. Directly from the tree of life, which is also associated with the Torah Kedumah, the primordial Torah. So they were endowed with the wisdom of the primordial Torah, which was used by God, which God created 2,000 years before the creation of any of the worlds, even the world of Atzilut, which was used as the archetype, the blueprint, for which this is how supernal this wisdom is. It was the blueprint. This Torah, Kedumah, was the blueprint with which the Holy One, blessed be He, created all the worlds, even the ones He destroyed. Because, yes, they weren't mistakes. The ones that were destroyed, I don't want to get too far into this, but I want to say this. Even the worlds that were destroyed, as it says, the death of the kings of Edom is a reference to the worlds that the Holy One created and then destroyed. These were not destroyed because they were imperfect and defective. They weren't mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. He created them and destroyed them in order to draw off from Him, just as in a furnace when we melt down ore, gold ore, or silver ore, precious metals in raw ore, what is drained off when it becomes, what rises to the surface and runs off is the dross, the stuff, the impurities. And this is what God was doing. He was using the light and the fire, His holy light of emanation, and the fire of His Spirit to burn off in these first worlds the impurity is within himself. Because God has everything. Yes, he has impurity as well. Because God is unlimited. God is infinite. God is perfect. If God is perfect, it means that God is complete. And if God is complete, then it means that he has everything. He has imperfection as well as perfection. And so what God was doing was perfecting himself through this process. And so he created worlds and destroyed them. Burned them away. Because why? They contained the dross, the imperfection in God that he was wanting to get rid of. The evil, if you want to look at it that way. Okay. So God created and destroyed the worlds that were designed to be done this way in the blueprint given for this process of continual perfection, continual improvement. And I know there are those out there right now who are going, oh, this is heresy. Yes, I'm a heretic. That's right, I'm a heretic. I'm a heretic when compared to these Orthodox people who have drained all the blood out of their meat and have no taste to any of their food and who only follow the law because they have no spirit and they will not see the face of God because they are like Jacob. They hold others back. And I want to be like Israel. I want to be a prince of God, just as you should want this. So you have to dare to do great things for God. You have to view God through the glory of his Shekinah. All right, enough of that. So, before they sinned, the human pair used to hear a voice from above, the voice of God who was walking in the cool of the garden in the afternoon, in the cool of the eve afternoon in the garden, and were endowed with the higher wisdom, the wisdom of the Torah Kaduma. And it says, they stood erect with heavenly radiance and knew no fear because they were higher than the angels. They were higher than the angels. The angels hadn't even been created yet. The angels occupy a station lower than Adam and Eve. They exist not in the world of Asiya, but in the world of Yetzirah. The next world down, the world of Berea, is the world of the throne, and the world below that is the world of Yetzirah, which is the world of the angels. So they're two worlds lower than Adam and Eve. And they were so beautiful that they were radiant. They were so holy that they were radiant. And of course they knew no fear. There was nothing to fear. But when they sinned, they were not able to stand up even before an earthly voice. And then it says, a similar thing happened later with the Israelites. When Israel stood before Mount Sinai, the impurity of the serpent was removed from them, so that carnal passion was suppressed among them, and in consequence they were able to attach themselves to the tree of life. And their thoughts were turned to higher things and not to lower. Hence they were vouchsafed heavenly illuminations and knowledge. The two qualities that we were just talking about above with Adam and Eve. They were radiant and they knew no fear. And here it says, hence the Israelites were vouchsafed heavenly illuminations, radiance, and knowledge. Which, knowledge of what? Knowledge of the higher wisdom that takes away fear. And this filled them with joy and gladness. And I'm still reading here now of the Zohar. Further, God girt them with cinctures of the letters of the holy name, which prevented the serpent from gaining power over them or defiling them as before. When they sinned by worshipping the calf, they were degraded from their high estate and lost their illumination. They were deprived of the protective girdle of the holy name and became exposed to the attacks of the evil serpent as before, and so brought death into the world. So what we're talking about here is that evil cannot sojourn with the Holy One, blessed be He. He will not allow it. And as it says here in the Zohar that I just read, he who is drawn after evil may not abide with the tree of life. And the example that's given is Adam and Eve. They were abiding with the tree of life, who we will learn later is also the Holy One, blessed be He, and is also Torah. Before they sinned, by taking on the attributes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is a lower being center, being a center of being, a lower state of consciousness, a spirituality, they communed with the Holy One, blessed be He. They held on to, they took hold of the tree of life. And by having hold of it, they took on its attributes, which is life, eternal life. But when they sinned, they fell from that state. They lost their grip on the tree of life, and they held instead to the tree of death. And so, as it says here in this final sentence of this passage from the Zohar, and so brought death into the world. It is at this point that the world was created. I'm going to say that the world was not created until the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, because there was no need for it. There was no need for that creation. God foresaw it. How do we know God foresaw it? Well, because it says so in the Torah, and the Torah came into existence, was created by God 2,000 years before the creation of the world, before He even made Adam and Eve. He made the Torah. And the Torah talks about death in the world. Let me see if I can find the citation, the quote that I wanted to give you on this. Well, if I come across it, I'm not going to just have a bunch of silence here. So I will just tell you the next thing that I wanted to share with you, which is continuing along this line of what happened with Adam and Eve. I'm going to quote also from the Zohar. The last quote I gave you is from section 1, page 52b, and in section 1, Bereshit, page 53a, the next page, quite a ways down toward the bottom of the page. I'm going to read you a section here. Quote, similarly, when Adam sinned, God took from him the armor of the bright and holy letters. Remember, it says that said before we read that they were filled with a radiance and filled with the supernal chokmah, wisdom. So it says here, similarly, when Adam sinned, God took from him the armor, and it says they were not afraid. Took from him, why? Because they had the armor of the bright and holy letters with which they had been encompassed. That was their skin, was this armor of the holy letters of what? The holy letters of the holy name of God. They were encompassed with this as an armor. As it says in the earlier passage, so too did the Israelites wear this armor, the cinctures of the holy letters of the holy name. And it goes on to say here, and then when God took from him the armor of the bright and holy letters with which he had been encompassed, and then he and his wife were afraid. That's when the fear came upon them, perceiving that they had been stripped. Stripped of what? Stripped of the armor of God's holy letters which compose his name. Going on here, what this says, perceiving that they had been stripped, so it says, And they knew that they were naked. That's directly quoting out of Genesis. And they knew that they were naked. And as I said in our last teaching, the last time we met, it has nothing to do with the shame of being physically exposed, because they did not even have physical bodies. No physical bodies. It has nothing to do with sex or lust or any of these negative emotions. It has to do with fear that comes from knowing that they no longer were protected by the armor that God had given them before they sinned. And that armor was the bright and holy letters of God's own name. And so it goes on to say here in the Zohar, at first they had been invested with those glorious crowns which gave them protection and exemption from death. When they sinned, they were stripped of them. And then they knew that death was calling them, that they had been deprived of their exemption, and that they had brought death on themselves and all the world. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I think this might be a good place to stop for today. What time is it? Yes, I don't want to run on too long. I'm going to stop here today. We will continue on this tomorrow in discussing these passages in the Zohar that talks about the tree of life, and we will be distinguishing them from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the impact that it has on the Torah. Which Torah it is that we're under. The Torah of the tree of life or the Torah of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And where we go from here. All right. Having said that, that will conclude today's lesson. And I wish you well for the rest of your day and evening. May God protect you, and may you serve God. Go from strength to strength. Remember God at least twice. Remember that He is the Holy One, blessed be He, and that He has created this world and all the worlds, and He has created you, and He has placed you in this world for a purpose. And that purpose is not about you. Remember, you are not your body. And your purpose is not about you. It's about God. And doing God's will in this world so that God may be redeemed from His multiplicity and made whole once again. Amen, v'amen. All right, having said that, go from strength to strength. Zeigesund.